Welcome to the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Your weekend wake-up tradition.
It's Rosie on the House.
Here we go. You got some rainy day music for us in there, Gary D?
Actually, it's a little Mardi Gras music down in the home state. Yeah, Mardi Gras weekend.
Yes, it
is. Professor Longhair to kick off the show.
Oh, yeah. A damp Arizona Saturday morning. Good morning, Arizona. You can stay high and dry right here at my house, Rosie on the House. Come on in, make yourself comfortable. Pour yourself a fresh cup of hot coffee and grab yourself a seat. What a week. Boy, I have to do this because those of you that listen regularly know I don't like to do yard work. Thank you, Ray Lopez of Scottsdale Weed Control, for working 14-hour days the last 3 days, getting all of his clients pre-emerged before this rain event.
And this is the kind of perfect rain for that because it just soaks in instead of running off.
Oh, man.
We should be good to go.
Yeah, we should be good to go. Thank you, Ray. Hey, Jennifer and I went out to an event Monday night at the Madison, which is like a studio built by the Madison School District at 16th and right up Missouri, I think.
Performance Center, beautiful.
Really, it's just less than a year old. But President Teddy Roosevelt was there.
You know, I really felt like I met him. I had to remind myself that was an impersonator. He was fabulous. And it was $15 a ticket. So
he talked without notes for an hour. And then after the presentation, he went into the reception lobby area and visited with guests for another hour. Never came out of role. Not for 1 second.
Where was this?
It's a brand new little theater on 16th Street, built by the Madison School District, mm-hmm. I believe. But it was great, and I've got another attaboy too. Boy, big things happened this week in my life. I found a new meat hop butcher shop.
A new one.
I've been shopping Hobie Meats on 16th Street for about 40 years. Well, they've opened a sister butcher shop up in our neighborhood at Scottsdale and Shea.
That's dangerous.
I think it's called the Rusty Nail. Just opened. Yeah, I walked in there last night and I was drooling all over. They had to follow me with a mop.
Well, we're going to teach you some terminology before I let you do any more shopping. Roman, he bought a $200 prime rib.
I remember that story. That was a couple weeks ago.
That was a couple weeks ago.
It was a three bone in prime rib, but bigger than a football. And was that the best prime rib you've ever had?
Yes.
That's the best prime rib we've ever cooked at our house.
That was delicious.
Oh, man. All right. So we had a great week. We hope you had a great week. Don't let the rain this weekend dampen your spirit. Let's soak it all up. Jennifer and I, we're going to go horseback riding on Monday, but I think it'll be too slippery for that, but it'll be perfect to go skiing. Anyway, we'll talk about that at lunch.
It never ceases to amaze me that people complain about rain in Arizona.
Well, it's just habit, you know. You're not used to it, but boy, if you've been here long enough, you sure adore it and relish it when it comes.
I know.
If anybody should complain, it'd be you.
The desert.
Why?
Just the mud.
Oh.
And the street, and you know, just the inconvenience of it all.
I got
all
an right. email that. Snowballs expecting 15 feet out of all this.
Inches. Yeah, absolutely. I think Monday's
Maybe got, I was just being hopeful.
Yeah, right. I think Monday's got ski written all over it. Now, let's bring it back to the topic at hand. We've invited a special guest to join us, regular repeat guest, Dr. Sky, who's joining us actually from Sedona this morning. Dr. Sky, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rosie. Good to be in the house with you and your family. Yes, another rainy morning, but a beautiful day here in Sedona.
We have got a lot to cover on your topic of the universe today. Now, folks,
absolutely.
I know it's early. I know it's a little damp. It's a little cold out there. You may be getting a little bit of a slow start, but I want you to get into Dr. Sky's head And he's just like an economist. They think in numbers so big. I mean, the new national budget is only calling for $1 trillion deficit in 1 year. $1 trillion deficit in 1 year. And they're congratulating themselves for that. Now,
but we're not a political show.
Now the Dr. Sky and his friends talk about the speed of light like it's jogging around the corner. The speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. If you could put yourself on a train traveling the speed of light at the equator, you would circumnavigate the equator of Earth 7.5 times in 1 second.
Ooh, that hurt.
So I bring Dr. Sky in, and I stretch your minds because I want you to start thinking. This is big stuff. When you're talking light years, you're talking big stuff. And we've got this star that's almost as big as our entire universe, planetary universe, that's getting ready to go supernova. And I thought, well, we got to get Dr. Sky in to talk about that. What's the story on this baby, Dr. Sky?
Well, Rosie, it's very interesting. This particular star is known as Betelgeuse. Now, this has nothing to do with Michael Keaton and that, you know, character in the movie. But the star is what they call a red supergiant variable star. It's a red luminous supergiant. And in Earth terms, this particular star, Rosie, if you just look at it from the simple perspective of looking at how many times larger than our sun, it's 1,400 times larger than the sun. Now the sun,
he just drops that like it's, oh, and here's change for your dollar. You know,
there you go.
14,000 times larger.
No, 1,400 times larger than the sun. But you have to remember this: our sun, for everybody waking up this morning, is about 865,000 miles in diameter. So putting it even into more simplistic terms, they would take 109 Earths just to make the diameter of the sun. But this star Betelgeuse, which is a very low temperature star, and what happens, Rosie, without all the super details of physics this early morning, is that some of these stars, they start to lose their ability to, fuse hydrogen. And then what they do is they start to fuse heavier metals until somehow they expand. And this particular star, Betelgeuse, is really something that astronomers are watching. And why is it so important this early Saturday morning? Is because this star has been dimming in our sky. So simply, if you go out any clear evening and look high up into the south by 9 p.m., for those that are beginners in astronomy, look for the constellation Orion. The upper left star, which is known as Betelgeuse, which means simply the armpit of Orion the Hunter.
Okay.
This star, Rosie, has been dimming over the last 100 years, and now it's been dimming over the last 5 years. And astronomers usually say that when these stars begin to dim rapidly, that could be on the path to becoming an implosion event or supernova.
And I guess we know it isn't astronomers aging with cataracts.
Not at all. And about a year ago, we were nice, and I shouldn't say nice, we were lucky enough to fly aboard NASA SOFIA, the big airborne telescope, and we spent 13 hours with the scientists observing this particular star. And here's what we found out. There's large envelopes of gas that are coming off of this particular star. That may be one of the reasons why it's dimming. But smarter minds say that as this particular star is only about 10 million years old, now go figure, our sun's about 4.5 billion years old, these red supergiants are rather unstable. So here's the big news. If and when this star goes supernova, Dr. Sky, when is it going to happen? It could happen tomorrow. It could happen next year. It could happen in another 1,000 years. But when it does, Rosie, this is interesting, and this is a fact. This particular star, once it implodes, will shoot up to the brilliance of that of the full moon and be in our skies when it happens for more than months, maybe a year. And that means in the night, if you had no moon in the sky, you would see your shadow cast in dark locations by the star Betelgeuse 650 light years away, and it would be distinctly visible in daylight. And this is amazing because this is the first time in human history that humans would be able to experience a star that close, that bright. Really, nothing in the record books, Rosie, even shines that bright other than the sun. That would be an epic event. maybe that would bring the earth and the people on the earth all together, because we all know that there's so much above us, even though there's so much going on here. I don't want to sound too philosophic.
Now, that's a far way away, but this is a big dude. And it goes supernova, implodes.
It
fills the universe with a debris field going 360 degrees, I imagine. It's how many light years away?
It's about 650 light years from the Earth. But there's nothing that we really, and this is interesting too. I mean, the astronomers tell us this, that distance, 650 light years, there's really nothing for us to worry about as far as the explosion of that. But
just to
to look at another star in our sky, which is Sirius, the brightest star in the sky, just look into the eastern sky at sunset, or southeast more precisely, that star is only 8.6 light years away. If we replace that star with Betelgeuse and it blew, we would be in serious trouble. And it's amazing how things are. We're pretty much out of harm's way. But this is a big news event when it does happen, not if. And I wanted to let everybody know that throughout this year, you can obviously keep your eyes peeled to Betelgeuse, because it's distinctly dimmer. And that's the strange thing. It hasn't been this dim for this particular long period of time since astronomers have really observed it. It is a variable star, which means it changes and gets brighter and dimmer. But this is an unusual event. Probably the best minds say it's leading up to the potential for supernova.
Well, and I would imagine they've got cameras trained on it 24 hours a day for when it happens. We got to capture that, right?
Absolutely, Rosie.
So
it's a beautiful thing.
Well, I want to come back a little bit closer to home and talk about whether the meteor that shot across the sky of Prescott and Prescott Valley could possibly be a part of the debris field of the early implosion of Betelgeuse.